And the presentation is going to talk about how South Carolina's State Health Department agency has implemented a performance management system across the various public health regions in our state. And I work in the Office of Performance Management, which is in the health services area of the health department. And I'd like to acknowledge Joe Kyle, who's in the audience. Joe, if you could raise your hand. He is the director of the Office of Performance Management. And I agreed to answer to do the presentation, and he agreed to answer all the difficult questions that you might have. So, just a quick overview of the presentation. I'm going to give you just some background information of the way our health department, which is known as DHEC, South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control, is structured, so you get a sense of how we're able to implement this performance management system. Briefly about some existing accountability efforts that are ongoing in South Carolina outside of our performance management system. Talk about our framework for how we're implementing performance management. Talk about our pilot process and the lessons learned from that process and how we're moving forward with our implementation. Talk about quality improvement, which is something that's relatively new, but we're implementing this as part of our performance management system and some of the things that we're looking at and how we're capturing that information, and how implementing this performance management system can increase transparency and accountability, and obviously with the outcome of improved services and customer service and health outcomes. DHEC is structured. It has a 7-member board that's appointed by the governor with consent of the Senate. It has a commissioner that's selected by the board, but the agency is not part of the governor's cabinet. Now, of course, there's been the current governor has, over the last several years, tried to restructure state government and tried to put the health department underneath his cabinet, but that hasn't worked, so DHEC is kind of unique in that it's not part of the governor's cabinet. It has 4 deputy areas. Health services, which is where we're implementing this performance management system, being the largest, but it also has the environmental health component as well, so it's a combined health and environment agency. It is a centralized system. It's vertically integrated. The local health departments are operated by the state health agency, and the local health departments functions directly under the state health agency, which obviously, when you're trying to implement something like performance management system statewide, it makes it a lot easier because there are no local boards of health that you have to run things through. There are 8 regions, and here's a map of South Carolina that's showing you all of the 8 regions. There's 46 counties, and in the region concept took place in 2005. Prior to that, we had 12 health districts, so there was a merger consolidate into 8 regions. And in each of those regions, you have a health director, a regional administrator, so you have regional leadership. But again, they all fall under within the state health department, state health agency. Health services, again, which is where we're implementing this performance management system, it's the largest deputy area in DHEC. And there's over 3,100 employees. We have 95 sites in all 46 counties. The major areas of responsibility for health services include CDC, HRSA-related programs, and we also have general environmental sanitation under that as well. So that includes rabies investigations, food inspections, things of that sort. Obviously, we have a large, diverse workforce. It includes nurses, administrators, physicians, epidemiologists, social workers, pharmacists, etc. So it's a very diverse working environment. Just to give you a little bit of background on what are the different roles between central office, which is what we call the state level, and the region, local level. State central office level looks at state health improvement, obtaining resources. We submit budgets to the legislature each year at the state level, which would include any of the region level requests for funding as well. Obviously, development of policies, regulations, program guidance, Within each of our program areas at the central office, we would have subject matter experts, consultants that would work with the regions in their various program activities. Then at the region level, you know, they're looking more at the community level health improvement. Obviously, they provide many of the direct services to the clients, implement the policies, and develop regional and local partnerships. So just a few of our existing accountability efforts. Each year, the governor has an accountability report that all state agencies are mandated to submit. It's based on the Malcolm Baldrige criteria, which you may have heard of, and includes these seven different components. And in that report, there is some performance-related information that's shared, and some outcome-related data like incident rates for HIV, number of WIC clients that have been served. So there is some information that's shared in that report, but it also looks at the overall structure of our agency and how it operates, workforce capacity, those kind of things. There's also something called the Governor's Annual Activity Report, and that's more of a budgetary document that we must submit to the governor so that he can develop his budget for the upcoming year. But it includes a breakdown of our different programs and activities. Within DHEC itself, we have a strategic plan, and we've been using that strategic plan for several years, but we're now under the 2005-2010 version. It has 5 broad goals, 24 strategic goals, 88 objectives. Each deputy area, again, there's 4 deputy areas, but each one monitors their objectives through performance measures. And then in 2007, all the deputy areas began presenting performance-related data to the DHEC's executive management team, which includes the commissioner, the 4 deputy area commissioners for each of the deputy areas, and legal counsel. So this is an opportunity for those programs to share how they're developing their programs and monitoring their performance on a variety of indicators. There's also within health services something that we've had since 1996 called a Continuous Quality Improvement Committee. It was chartered in 96 to assess and streamline QA, quality assurance auditing tools and processes across all the programmatic areas, but it's really evolved to provide leadership and guidance on the implementation of the performance management system, since one of the components of the performance management system is quality improvement. So it's been a great opportunity for Joe and I to run things by that group, get feedback, input, and it has representation from all 8 regions and different organizational units within central office, so we get good feedback and input from a variety of stakeholders, and the group meets quarterly, so we have an opportunity to, you know, discuss things on a regular basis. So now I'm going to just talk a little bit about our framework for performance management, what that looks like, how we're operationalizing it. The process actually started in 1999 with what was called the operational plan. And the operational plan was the first attempt to integrate planning across our silos and different funding areas. And it was organized around health status issues, but it provided little consistency. It was really too much text, not enough information on actual performance. So in 2004, senior leadership within the central office, state level, was looking for a better way to account for how well agency was doing on important health status measures, but also on internal infrastructure processes. So the Office of Performance Management, which at that time was an office of one, which is Joe, I was asked given the task to pilot and implement the PMS, and then we used the Turning Point Performance Management resources to guide our processes. And hopefully you're familiar with that if you're interested in performance management, because they have a lot of excellent resources. So here's the components, the 4 components of our performance management system. Again, this comes straight from the Turning Points. From silos to systems. Component one, performance, setting performance standards, identifying relevant standards, selecting indicators, and then you need to, in component two, you need to develop performance measurement, refine indicators, define the measures, obviously develop data systems if you don't already have them in place, collect data, and in terms of many of our programmatic performance measures, we didn't try to recreate, you know, the wheel. We requested from the programs performance measures that they were already required to report in many of their grants, and so they had data collection systems already in place. We did create a data collection system just for the performance measures that is included in our agency's intranet, and that's where people go in and enter their performance management-related data. I'll talk a little bit more about that. The third component is reporting of progress and analyzing the data. This is the component where you provide feedback to stakeholders, managers, and then in step four, quality improvement process. And I think this is the component that, in my experience and coming from the STD HIV division of our agency, is we do a really good job with 1, 2, and 3, but it's the QI piece that's lacking. And so in our focus with this system, we're really looking at the QI piece because you can do all this and without improving your performance, it doesn't really matter if you're, you know, measuring. You need to identify how you can actually improve. So how does that get operationalized, that little diagram there in our system? The CDC has a required performance standard for the STD funding that we get, that 90% of women testing positive for chlamydia should be treated within 30 days of a test. So our performance measure is that we're looking at is what is the percent of DHEC family planning STD clinic clients with positive chlamydia tests that are treated within 30 days of the specimen collection date. So that's our performance measure. We report that quarterly, and those reports come out of our STD HIV surveillance division. Those reports are provided to the actual division staff, to the consultants, and they're reported into our performance management database, and then those reports are shared at the region level, because again, that's where all the action takes place, so to speak. And at their quarterly meetings and other opportunities that they have, you know, they discuss, you know, these findings. And from the step four, then the quality improvement process is that the regions and the division identify which regions are maybe below standard and initiate a QI process to improve performance and communicate results. So that's just one example of many on how our performance management system gets operationalized. One other component that we need to include here is, in most cases, you know, people think of the health department, they think of health status and outcome measures, and this is a pyramid that tries to capture different components of what we're looking at in our performance management system. At the top, you can see the public health outcomes of health status, population-focused strategies and action plans, customer-focused and satisfaction. But we've also included performance measures on the infrastructure outcomes, because without good data and information systems, without sound financial systems, good management practices, it's unlikely that you're going to get the outcomes, the health outcomes that you need. So it was developing the performance measures around the health status were fairly well defined because many of the programs already had them, but many of these infrastructure performance measures hadn't been created. So that was a bit of a challenge, but we were able to develop performance measures and, you know, get started within those components as well. So in April of 2006, and really I didn't start until November of 2006, so Joe met with every bureau organizational unit to identify performance standards and the performance measures for each of the seven domains. And that in, at the end, we had about 278 performance measures. During this process, there was a performance management database that was created, and it's an online intranet access only database to collect and report on these information. In an ideal world, we would have $100,000, $200,000 to spend on this fancy performance management software that would pull data from all of our different programs, but no, we don't have that kind of money, and we have somebody who other assigned duties helped create this database. And so it is a manual process. People have to get the data that they've already got from some other system and enter it into the database. But it is a good way to collect all of the performance data into one system. After the data entry and CQI process was completed on the 270-plus measures, we again met with, and by this time I was hired, we met with everyone again, including 78 region leadership teams to evaluate the process. So what worked well, what needed refinement, what is, you guys are crazy, you can't keep doing this type of aspect. So we needed to get that kind of feedback to see what was realistic. So what did we learn? These are just three. We learned a lot, but the first one, make sure measure is clear and understood. Well, that would seem to be an understatement, but even in the pilot process, people said, yeah, this is a good measure. It's clear, it's tight, we can report on it. And then when you ask them to actually enter the information into the system, they're like, you know what, we really don't have the data that way. So that's why it was important to pilot it. And in that process, we developed specification sheets for each measure and added those to the intranet. And you have an example of that in your handouts. It's a performance measure and specification sheet for the performance measure that I showed you earlier. So this is just an example. It gives a lot of different areas that that help clarify, again, data sources, definitions, as such. And we have those linked to the performance measures in our database so that they can follow up on those. We did determine that it's okay to track many measures. As I mentioned, we had 278. We did drop that down to 206. And we're calling this our PM, Performance Management Surveillance System. But we must limit the number of measures that require CQI documentation. You can't ask the regions and central office organizations to be doing CQI on 200-plus measures. That's impossible. Who's going to monitor it? How are they going to be able to focus that much attention and resources? So in the end, we dropped the leadership agreed that we would have a focus on 34 performance measures, and I'll talk a little bit about that priority process. And the other important component was that we need to monitor, and when I say we, the Office of Performance Management needs to monitor and report compliance for required data entry into the PM performance management system. During the pilot, we found that reporting this information, transparency, increased compliance. So the system isn't going to work if people don't put their performance management data into the system. And some regions were very good, and some of the central office organization units were very good in getting the data in on the time that we needed. Some were not. So at the end of our deadline, we reported out what the results were to the senior leadership, regional leadership, and lo and behold, a little transparency, a little light on it. It changed people, and they got the data entered. So that process has worked, and now we've added that as a performance measure into our overall system. So the selection criteria for the 34 priority performance measures, we wanted wanted them to be representative, so they must include measures from each of the seven domains. We didn't want them all to be health status related because, again, we're focusing all on all seven components. We needed some from each of the bureaus and the professional offices, and that refers to social work, health education, nursing, nutrition offices. In an ideal process, they would all lend themselves to quality improvement. They would be a public health priority, and also we wanted reasonable expectation for improvement during the first year. So, for example, we do not have infant mortality in our outcomes as a performance measure because we know in terms of these 34 that's not something you move in a year, and so we have some components within that, but in and of itself, infant mortality is not one of the performance measures because we want to get success, we want to see success happen. We don't want to make this process seem so unachievable that people aren't going to see the benefits of the process. And we also have some capacity process and outcome-related measures. Now, the reality is, and this list of constraints in our public health system was generated by the Public Health Foundation Work Group from the participants of the Multi-State Learning Collaborative. And I think anybody who's tried to implement QI or performance management in your systems know that you can have staff resistance. It's not seen as a priority. Work culture doesn't support quality improvement. Systems and process not geared to quality improvement. Many people will say we don't have enough resources, time, money, those kind of things. Our staff really don't know about QI and performance management, and so their knowledge is lacking. And of course, leadership is probably the key component. If there's leadership is lacking, and in our system, we certainly have the leadership at the senior level, and I would also say at the regional level, but if any of the regional level leadership felt that we didn't need to do this, then obviously that's going to make it a difficult process. I did want to just talk a bit about, on the 34 priority measures, we have a quality improvement that we're requiring. And so what is that going to look like? The regions are required to work on 28 of the 34. Each measure has of those 34 has a central office contact, and that person is to convene meetings, provide additional data and information, and assist the program and the regions in developing the QI plans. And the QI efforts will be documented in our existing performance management database, and the initial QI planning phase right now will be entered by January 08, and then we're going to have 2 6-month follow-up reports. And so why are we documenting the QI process? We want to better understand how it's implemented in our health services and learn how QI methods and tools are being used, identify factors that support or hinder the QI process, getting back to those constraints within the public health system, how are those impacting in ours, see how performance changes as a result of the QI process, learn about the challenges and success stories of implementing QI and using information to further our performance goals. So we structured the questions or what we're asking them to report on so that we can answer these types of questions. This is a diagram, the CQI process that we're utilizing. I'm sure those of you are familiar. You can see in the center the Plan, Do, Check Act, sometimes known as the Plan, Do, Study Act. We're utilizing that, and then on the outside you see the arrows with just a little bit more information on defining what those action steps include. So this is our framework for QI. We've identified that, yes, we definitely need some QI training. We'll be providing that training over the next several months. But basic QI tools and methods, problem identification, root cause analysis, and just using the just-in-time rather than, you know, doing this training 5 6 months ago. Now that we have the 34 performance measures, we know what we're going to be working on, and we can use those measures as our components within our training. Okay, so how is this development or deployment of this PM performance management system increasing transparency, and why is that good? Right now, any DHEC employee with access to DHEC's intranet can review the data on all 206 measures. So Region 1 can see how Region 2 is doing, et cetera, on any of these performance measures. It provides an incentive for managers and staff to better understand why performance is at a certain level. So they need to explain, you know, why they're below, if they're not at you know, at standard, and why they're below. But I think more importantly, our whole focus is this is an opportunity to learn from each other, and this process will help formalize that or bring that to bear a little bit more. We know there's sharing that goes on across regions at their regional meetings, but this process I think will force that a little bit more. And it'll also give us an opportunity to identify and give recognition to regions and units that are performing well, which in a lot of cases doesn't happen based on performance measurement. And then this, in terms of increased accountability, process holds managers more visibly accountable for how well their unit is performing. Central office and regional leadership teams are better informed and can focus their limited proactive time to areas of greatest need. So again, this prioritization process, focusing resources. We still need to figure out best ways, given our system, to reward high performance. We don't have, you know, big bonus checks ready to hand out to people who perform well, so we need to figure that process out. But also to implement identify and implement consequences of no improvement over time. We're also not an agency that goes around firing people who don't perform well. So what are the consequences for not doing well? Those kind of things. So I think these, and you have this in the handout, these are just some wonderful performance management resources if you're at all interested in this topic to check out if you haven't already, and especially the Multi-State Learning Collaborative. They've got some wonderful resources on quality improvement, and I highly recommend those.